Today's critique examines the academic white paper, When the Word Becomes Flesh, which utilizes a Maturana-informed lens and Pope Leo XIV's Magnifica Humanitas to explore how institutions from organized religion to artificial intelligence either conserve life coherence or fall into life-blind domination. And getting right into it, the conceptual bridge connecting Humberto Maturana's biological theories to Catholic social doctrine requires a more seamless integration to prevent the core premise of life coherence from feeling overly abstract.
I completely agree. I mean, the material expertly introduces Maturana's biology of cognition, right? Like, it focuses on emotioning and languaging, and it juxtaposes that with the theological framework of Babel versus Naomia.
Mm-hmm.
But the connective tissue explaining exactly how a biological autopoetic concept maps directly onto a theological diagnostic of institutional power is, well, it's too sparse. It leaves a really heavy cognitive load on the reader.
It really does. I actually got a bit of rhetorical whiplash reading it. So a key theme running through this material seems to be this dual framework.
Right.
On one side, we have the biological reality of the human person, and on the other, this sweeping theological architecture. It actually reminds me of a building where the biological foundation and the theological roof are highly visible, but the load-bearing walls are just hidden.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, like, we know they must be there for the argument to stand, but as a reader, I just can't see the structural logic.
Exactly. So is the connection between A and B fully established in the material, or is that an area to potentially bolster? Because the author is essentially asking the reader to make a massive epistemic leap from a biological is to a theological ought.
Right. And without that visible bridge, life coherence risks floating away as like a philosophical abstraction. So my suggestion here is to integrate transitional explanations that directly map Maturana's domain of mutual legitimacy onto the specific principles of Catholic social doctrine.
Before applying them to AI.
Right. Yes, exactly. Doing that ensures the biological foundation naturally and logically yields the theological outcome.
To give a concrete example of that, rather than introducing Maturana's primordial corrective and Catholic social doctrine as these distinct, sequential pillars, they need to intertwine them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think of a brief case study, an AI recruitment tool, for example.
Oh, yeah.
If a massive corporation uses an algorithm optimized purely for ruthless efficiency, that creates a domain governed by fear and control. Biologically, the applicant is no longer seen as a legitimate other in coexistence.
They're just reduced to a data profile.
Exactly. Now, to intertwine them, the text should show exactly how that biological failure manifests practically as a theological violation of the universal destination of goods.
Right, the doctrine says a person can never be reduced to a mere function. So the biological failure to see the legitimate other is the exact mechanism that causes the theological failure of Babel.
Mm-hmm. Power without communion.
Which just makes the underlying logic so visceral. You know, you're not just violating a doctrine, you're violating the biological reality of the human organism.
Yeah, and they can do this with the concept of emotioning too.
Oh, definitely.
Like, explicitly link Maturana's concept of emotioning to the encyclical's warning about algorithmic platforms exploiting vulnerability. If an AI hacks your biological emotioning to keep you scrolling, that's a theological loss of interior freedom.
Right. I can see what you're going for here. Let's see how we can strengthen this as we move to the next section. Because the proposition of a digital civil commons offers a profound alternative to data enclosure, yet it lacks engagement with the entrenched economic incentives that currently drive AI monopolies.
This is a major gap. I mean, the material effectively defines the Nehemia alternative, right? Freeing AI infrastructures, algorithms, and computing power from extractive surveillance and monopolistic control.
It's a beautiful idea.
It is. But it completely overlooks the counter-argument of how a life-coherent institution can practically resist the Babel model when that model is just heavily incentivized by the global digital economy and tech monopolies.
Yeah, like if demographic data and genetic maps are the new rare earths of power, how does an institution actually stop the mining? We're talking about systems that are incredibly profitable.
Building on that point, what if we looked at it from the perspective of why? like specifically the perspective of the tech developers and financiers whose profit models entirely depend on the extraction the paper critiques.
They have zero incentive to adopt the Nehemiah model.
Exactly. So the suggestion here is to anticipate and address the economic counterarguments by introducing specific systemic mechanisms or frameworks through which institutions can actively reform these extractive business models.
Moving beyond purely moral discernment.
Right. We need operational strategy.
So for a concrete example, the author could introduce a section examining a real-world attempt at a digital commons, like data cooperatives.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, or open-source AI models, or algorithmic auditing boards, and evaluate it using the paper's life coherence test matrix.
Show how that actually works in practice.
Exactly. Like show how an institution might practically implement the Catholic social doctrine principle of subsidiarity when negotiating with a major cloud infrastructure provider.
Right. So if a healthcare network is procuring an AI triage system, they hold massive economic leverage as the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
They can demand an algorithmic auditing board as a legally binding condition of the contract that forces a systemic market mechanism to interact with the Nehemiah framework.
And that demonstrates how to move the digital civil commons from a theological aspiration to a truly operational strategy. It's not just a passive plea for ethical behavior. It's an active structural blockade.
Yeah, it proves that this civilization of love they're writing about is actually operational.
Okay, so that brings us to what might be the most delicate part of the text. Let's look closely at the section discussing the slavery passage in the encyclical.
Right, section 7.
Yeah, the analogy drawing parallels between historical chattel slavery and digital colonialism is rhetorically powerful, but risks flattening the visceral reality of physical violence if the transition between the two is handled too swiftly.
Yeah, I noticed this too. Although the author includes a disclaimer that the analogy should not flatten the bodily horror and intergenerational trauma of chattel slavery, the rapid pivot from Pope Leo XIV's apology for the church's historical complicity in slavery directly to modern data appropriation.
Like health data and algorithmic profiling?
Exactly. It might unintentionally minimize the unique physical trauma of the former by conflating it too quickly with the privacy violations of the latter.
It's just jarring. Data extraction is a profound violation of dignity, but jumping straight from historical physical bondage to, you know, data harvesting, it gives you rhetorical whiplash.
Is there a risk that focusing solely on data appropriation might overlook the actual physical toll that AI demands today?
Oh, absolutely. Which is why the suggestion here is to deepen the contextual buffering around this analogy by strictly isolating the comparison to the institutional mechanism of delayed moral recognition and legitimized domination.
Right. Rather than comparing the experiences of the victims or the nature of the extracted goods.
Exactly. The focus needs to be entirely on institutional metanoia.
So, as a concrete example, they should rework the ethical hinge in Section 7, explicitly analyze why the religious institution failed to see physical slavery as a violation of flesh in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then map that specific institutional blind spot onto how modern institutions fail to see the hidden exploited labor in AI supply chains.
Like the platform-enabled recruitment of gig workers who manually label data in poorer regions?
Yes, the click workers. AI requires massive amounts of human labor to train. These workers are underpaid, traumatized by the content they filter, and they're basically the hidden, bleeding scaffolding of modern AI.
And that keeps the focus squarely on institutional blindness and the need for ongoing repentance, rather than drawing a direct, potentially fraught line between physical chains and digital profiles.
Right. It perfectly illustrates the life coherence test without minimizing historical trauma. Today's tech industry looks at a shiny chatbot and is completely blind to the exploited flesh in the global south that makes it function.
It's the exact same delayed moral recognition. They fail to see the other as a legitimate other.
Exactly.
Well, that's incredibly powerful. So to recap our critique today, we covered three main areas. First, fortifying the conceptual bridge between Maturana's biology and Catholic social doctrine.
Right.
Second, providing concrete operational examples to counter the economic incentives opposing the digital civil commons. And third, carefully refining the slavery analogy to focus strictly on institutional blind spots and hidden AI labor.
And just to summarize the actionable suggestions for the listener, intertwine the biological and theological frameworks using practical case studies. Introduce real-world mechanisms like data cooperatives to test the Nehemiah model, and tighten the rhetorical focus on institutional delay regarding modern AI supply chains.
The ambition, death, and unique life-coherent framework of this material are truly exceptional. Creating a unified matrix like this is a monumental achievement. We invite you to implement these suggestions and submit your revised work back in for another critique. Keep building, and we'll see you next time.